Let's open our Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse number 7. Hebrews 11 and 7. Enjoy the good choir singing tonight in the special. That was a blessing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. The Word of God says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Lord, we recognize that we of all men are most unworthy. Lord, we ought to, according to the works of our flesh, Lord, we ought to have to look the other direction when we pass by the house of God, much less be allowed in the door. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be gathered here with God's people and be numbered among them. Lord, thank you for the grace of God introduced into our lives and salvation granted to us full and free. Thank you for redemption, for a new birth. God, thank you for making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. We could still be lost and on the road to hell and even unaware of it, but because of mercy, because of grace, Lord, we stand here tonight before you, redeemed, a child of God. And Lord, we ask you now that it's time for the preached word of God that you would help us, that you would cleanse us of sin and of self. Oh God, that you would help us not to be seen, but the word of God to be seen, the Lord Jesus to be high and lifted up. God, I pray tonight that you'd take your word, you'd get glory and honor to yourself, and in so doing, Lord, that you'd help your people, that you'd draw them nearer to you, that you'd give them a better understanding of your precious word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've read Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7 to you. It's a verse I'm certain that you're familiar with. I want to preach to you on this character of Noah, and I want to preach to you on the thought you can't fit in if you're going to get in. You can't fit in if you're going to get in. Amen. And what I mean by that is you can't fit into the world around you. You can't run with the crowd around you. You can't blend in with the culture and with the society that surrounds you if you're going to get in. And when I say get in, I mean into the ark of God. I mean into this Christian way. That's what I mean. You can't fit in if you're going to get in. I'm going to preach to you under about three, maybe four different headings tonight, just depending on how our time goes tonight. The Bible said, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah's but one character that we read of in Hebrews chapter 11. If you're familiar with the book of Hebrews, you know that Hebrews chapter 11 is often called the roll call of faith. And you find characters like Abraham, Enoch, Noah, Moses. You find all the great patriarchs of the faith. But I'm glad you find people like Rahab in there as well. I intentionally call her by her first name and first name only. So often, even in the Word of God, when Rahab is referred to, it's always, "Rahab, finish it for me. The harlot." Rahab, the harlot. And so that's what she's known as. And that is what she was. That is until God saved her by his marvelous grace. And here's the reality of it, beloved. When God saves a man, woman, boy, or girl, he never leaves them the same. He never has saved a soul and left that soul the way that he found it. He found Rahab a harlot, but he didn't leave Rahab a harlot. He found her lost and undone without God. He regenerated her and saved her soul. And by doing, he changed her from being a harlot to being a servant of God Almighty. That's exactly what God does. Aren't you glad the day he came your way and pulled you up out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a solid rock and established your goings, put a song in your heart? Aren't you glad he changed you? You say, well, Brother Ronnie, I wasn't like some of y'all. I wasn't off out chin deep into the world. I wasn't off in the quagmire of sin. Yeah, but you was lost and undone without God. You had a wicked, wretched heart full of greed and self-centeredness and all sort of wicked, putrid sin. But if God ever truly regenerated you, son, he changed you. He made you into something you had never been before and made you into something that you could never have been in and of yourself. And that's what he done for Rahab the harlot. And we go all down through this roll call of faith, and we find that everything that was done by these names and others that we've mentioned, it was done by what? It was done by faith. The Word of God, even in this same epistle, teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God cannot be pleased if we're void of faith. Noah is no exception. It said, by faith Noah. And then it tells what took place in Noah's life. We're interested in that thought you can't fit in if you're going to get in. And Noah is a good character study. Noah is a good person to look after and study if you want to see what it means to take this thought, this statement, this catchy phrase for a sermon title, you can't fit in if you're going to get in. If you want to put it in shoe leather and see it walk day by day, Noah's your man. Noah's the man you need to study. He's the man you need to look after. We're going to look at it in very simple terms. I want to say that there was first a warning of God. There was secondly a work of grace. Thirdly, a word of guilt. And then fourth and finally, a world of glory. And the quicker you listen, the quicker we'll get done. It's only 4 points. Now, the first point that I want to bring to your attention is that there's a warning of God. It said, by faith, Noah, look now, being warned of God. There was a warning of God granted to Noah. You find it in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. The Bible tells us that God looked upon man. Man had grown in number. And the Bible says that all the imagination of his heart was on evil continually. And it said that it repented God that he had made man. Man and God determined that he would destroy man. But Noah, the Bible says, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for finding grace. Thank God for a grace that can be found. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God let Noah in on something. You know, the Bible says that Noah walked with God. There was a day when God said to Noah, Noah, I'm about to make a wash of this thing. I'm going to get rid of everything that I had. I'm going to start from scratch or mountaineer. I'm going to start with you and yours, and I'm going to start over. Noah probably wouldn't have heard that if he hadn't been walking with God. And some people say sometimes, I don't ever hear from God. It's as if God's not speaking. Well, the further you get away from him, the harder it is to hear him. God only speaks so loud at times, you understand. My precious wife, who I love so dear, she's got these two things about her that's never changing. That's her speed and her volume. Her speed and her volume. And when we get ready to go somewhere, I've picked on her for years about it. That's the terms of our relationship, and y'all will have to just come to terms with it yourself. We pick on each other. And we'll be getting ready, and she makes a liar out of me. I can never be honest with her about what time we have to leave, or else we'll be late. If we need to leave at 20 after, I tell her 15 after, which means she'll be in the car at 20 after, which means we left at the appropriate time. And I can tell her, Shanda, we should have been out the door 3 minutes ago. All right, she'll say, all right. And she'll move at the same pace she was moving 2 hours ago. Her pace never changes. If the house caught on fire and her skirt tail was ablaze, she'd walk out at the very same pace. She's got one gear about her. God loves her and I do too. But she's got one gear about her and she's got one volume. I'm deaf in one ear and I can't hear out of the other one. And she'll say something to me. And I'll say, what? And she'll repeat it in that same tone. Now, if I couldn't have heard her the first time, I probably wouldn't be able to hear her the second time at the same volume. And she just, that's how loud she's going to talk. She's not going to talk any louder. Well, listen, the reality is you're not going to hear the voice of God unless you get real close to him. I can't hear my wife unless I get close to her because she's only going to speak but so loud. And you're only going to hear God if you get good and close to him. I'm glad Noah was walking with God. I'm glad he had drawn up real nigh to God. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about the voice of God being a still small voice. Talked about all this clamor and all this noise, all this big goings on. And the voice of God was heard as a still, small voice. That's what it talks about. And God spoke to Noah. He said, I'm going to erase this thing. I'm going to wash her out. I'm going to start over with you and yours. There was a warning given by God. But then you go to Matthew chapter number 24, verse 37 to 39. You're familiar with that as well. That's where Jesus talks about what it's going to be like at the coming of the Son of Man. He said it's going to be business as usual. He said they're going to be marrying and giving in marriage. They're going to be eating and drinking and carrying on, going to and fro. They're going to be living it up. They're going to be living the life of Riley. It's going to be good times as far as I can see. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And that's how it's going to be when Jesus comes back. It'll be dark days. It'll be dangerously dark days. And society will be going to and fro without acknowledging at all that things have gotten so bleak and so dark and so depraved that God is about to execute wrath and vengeance upon them. That's what it'll be like when the Lord Jesus comes back. There was a warning given from God. A warning given from God to Noah. But then there was a work of grace. A work of grace. It says, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And I didn't spend much time on that, but that's the case with those folks over in Matthew chapter 24. They was warned of things not seen yet. And if they can't see it, they don't believe it. It says that Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. That's a work of grace in three different elements there. There's a work of grace going on. That work of grace included faith. The verse started out and said, by faith, Noah. That's a work of grace. If you possess faith tonight, I'm talking about saving faith. And then if you possess other faith, working faith, the kind of faith that causes you to take that saved life and put it in shoe leather and walk it out. Listen, that's a work of grace. God gave you that. You wasn't born with enough faith to save you. You wasn't born with enough faith to live for God. God gave you that. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a work of grace that took place in Noah's life here, and that work of grace, it included faith. But not only did it include faith, it included fear. It included fear. What does it say? It says he moved with fear. Now he's been warned of God of some things not seen yet. Noah's not seen them. Mrs. Noah's not seen them. Ham, Shem, nor Japheth, nor their wives have seen them. The world round about them, nobody's seen it. Everybody's going about their day to day as the world gets darker and darker and sinks into a greater state of depravity. But yet God has whispered in the ear of Noah and has warned him of judgment and wrath to come. And so Noah moves with fear, the Bible says. This work of grace includes faith, but it includes fear. And there's an absence of the fear of God in the culture that we live in today. Nobody knows God anymore. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying nobody's saved. No doubt there's saved people. But nobody knows God in the sense that they don't understand the nature and character of God. God has been falsely sold to American Christianity so that they would believe that God is all love and that God is all grace and all patience and he's all long-suffering, and that God just always warms you back, welcomes you back with warm, enveloping arms. But and listen, God is a God of love, and he is a God of grace, and his mercy is exceedingly great. But you make no mistake about this, if God is still true to his nature, and he is, you better believe this tonight, God will draw a line in the sand with a nation. God will draw a line in the sand with a family. God will draw a line in the sand with an individual man or woman. He'll draw a line in the sand, and you cross that line and you see what God does. That very same God of love and patience and long-suffering and grace, I tell you what he'll do. He'll exercise wrath. You ask Ms. Lott what happened. I tell you, the God of heaven, the God of love and mercy and grace, he is a God of judgment. He is a God of wrath. And you are no exception, and I am no exception. God will draw a line in the sand, and you put a toe over that line in the sand, and you see what God Almighty does to your life. He'll do that. He'll do that. He's done it before, and he's still the very same God. And Noah knew that, and Noah took God at his word, and he moved with fear. God help American pulpits to get back to the place to where we preach the whole counsel of God and quit talking about a God who's all love and all grace and just plays patty cakes with his children all the time, but preach about a God who hates sin. You hear people talk all the time about God loves sinners and he hates the sin. Well, sit around and wait and see which one he sends to hell, the sinner or the sin. He's going to send the sinner to hell. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked continually. That's exactly what the Word of God says. Now, I'm telling you tonight that when God speaks of wrath and of judgment, it behooves God's people to lean an ear toward him, to listen, and not just to hear, but to heed and to move with fear. So this work of grace, it includes faith. It included fear. It included fervor. Look at what he done. Said he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It included fervor. Now this extended over a great period of time. Over 100 years he built upon this ark. But he moved with fervor. You don't find record in the Bible of where Noah took vacation and went down to Disney World. You don't find where they went to see any attractions, where they took days off. I tell you what Noah done. Noah lived for God and he loved God, and Noah got up every morning. And I tell you, Miss Noah, she got up before daylight and she cooked country ham and cat head biscuits. Everybody ought to say amen. I said country ham and cat head biscuits. And ladies, I'm going to say it again. It's the third time I mentioned it lately. I'm going to say it again. She didn't give them Pop-Tarts and Cheerios. She gave them cat head biscuits and country ham. Why? Because they was going to get up and they was going to go out there and they was going to start chopping down gopher trees. They was going to start hewing out wood. They was going to start driving pegs and placing that thing together and building it by the exact command of God as to how he wanted it built. And the Word of God says that it's going to put pitch within and pitch without. I get tickled and want to turn a flip or two every time I read that in the Bible. That Old Testament word pitch, it's a tarry-like substance is what they tell me, much like the tar that we had put on a roof. The Bible said when they built that ark, that they put pitch on the outside and pitch on the inside. I looked that word up and studied it, Brother Boozer, and you know what it means? That Old Testament word pitch is the same New Testament word we have for atonement. Atonement, it means a covering within and a covering without. You know that that ark's a type of Christ. There was but one way into that ark, and there's but one way into this family that we're in. Jesus said, he's the door, and he's the only way in. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. He is the only way. Anybody that tries to make it any other way, he's a thief and he's a liar. Christ is the only way in. Once you got in that ark, do you remember what God said to Noah before they come in the ark? He said, Noah, come thou and thy family into the ark. He didn't say, y'all go yonder into the ark like the NIV Bible would say. But he said it like the King James said it. He said, come into the ark. That meant he is already in there. When I'm sitting in my living room and you knock on my door, I don't say go in. I say come in. That's because I'm already in there. God was on the inside. He called Noah to the inside, and then the Bible says that Noah shut the door. Some people preaching that will talk about how that water rose slowly and people was beating and banging. I don't believe that. I believe God killed him in an instant. But irregardless of however it happened, if it was slow or fast, nobody was opening that door because God shut the door. You know what Christ said about himself? He said when he shuts the door, no man opens. Matter of fact, when God shut that door, they went but one way out of that ark, Miss Ann, is straight up through the top. And when you got into this thing of the gospel way, when you got on the old ship of Zion, there's but one way out of here. God's done shut the door. He shuts you up in here. There's atonement within. There's atonement without. And the only way you ever going to get out of this thing is straight out of the top when he calls you up out of here. Now, I'm telling you, it included fervor. He worked. There was a work of grace going on that included faith, it included fear, but it included fervor. Noah every day went out there, him and Ham and Shem and Japheth, his three boys, and they worked. Could you imagine the noise, the hammers, the beating and the banging and the carrying on? Day one or two might not drew much attraction. But I tell you, by the time they got chin deep into that construction project, I guarantee you there was people coming from all around. You think people come from a distance now to see that replica ark up yonder in Kentucky or wherever it might be? Imagine the people that came to see this crazy Baptist preacher that was building the biggest thing that the world had ever seen, made by a man, and he called it a boat and tried to tell them it's going to float. Did you know that scientists and people who are far educated more than I am tonight, they still look at the instructions that God gave for that ark, and they say this thing shouldn't float. This thing shouldn't float. But it weathered the worst storm that the world has ever seen. They watched him build that thing, and day by day, no doubt, they laughed and made fun. And I've got no doubt in my mind that on occasion he'd lay his hammer down. He might would have took a plank and laid it up on two saw horses where he could get up on top of it and be seen by everybody. And the Bible said that he was a preacher of righteousness, and Noah would hop up there and he'd preach. He'd preach the wrath of God. He'd preach the judgment of God. He'd preach hell hot, heaven sweet, and eternity long. But he preached grace. You know how we know that he preached grace? Well, because he found grace. Anybody that ever finds grace, they'll preach grace. He is a preacher of righteousness, is what the Bible said he was. He was a preacher of righteousness. And so, it included fervor. They worked with a fervor toward it. Why? Because God's going to destroy this thing. You know what me and you ought to be doing tonight? We ought to be working with more fervor. We act like we know we got plenty of time. We don't have a clue how much time we've got. I was talking to Brother Travis Clayton on the phone the other day, and he's, how old is Brother Travis? 75 years old, and you might not believe what I'm finna tell you, but it's the truth. There's a place down in South Mississippi that prints gospel material tracts, booklets, and so forth, and they'll send them to you free of charge if you'll give them out. Brother Travis takes advantage of that, and they give it to him. 75 years old, they tell you every year at the end of the year, they'll tell you how many they've sent you, how many you've handed out. Now, listen, 75 years old, 2.5 million. Not 250,000, 2.5 million. That's how many he gave out. Why? Because he's got a fervor. Because he don't just believe that Jesus is coming back, but he believes Jesus is coming back anytime. He believes Jesus is coming back anytime. He said, Brother Owen, he said, I go down there to the Walmart. He said, I go down there pretty regularly and I hand out them tracts. He said, I just hand them out all over the store. So they've been so good to me. He called the manager's name, some lady. He said, I told her I sure appreciate you being so good to me. Let me hand out these tracts and so forth. Said they had a security guard, a colored guy. He come up to him and he said, you know these little old books you've been handed out? He said, yes, sir. He said, you can't do it no more. He said, well, had nobody told me. He said, I'm telling you, you can't hand them out no more. He said, well, I didn't know. I didn't know what the rules hadn't changed. He said, they've changed now. And if you get caught and hand them out anymore, we're going to bang you from the store and you might go to jail. He said, well, all right. And he said, you know, within 2 weeks, so that fellow lost his job. Said he got fired. I'm still down there at Walmart handing out them tracts. And he's handed out 2.5 million last year. You know what that done? It made me happy for him, but it shamed me. It shamed me. Here I am, just a little better than half his age. I didn't touch the hem of a garment last year as to what I handed out. 2.5 million gospel tracts. Listen, everybody's not going to hand out 2.5 million gospel tracts, but everybody ought to have the fervor that Brother Travis Clayton's got. We ought not just believe that Jesus is coming back, but that he might come back before the end of this service. That's one of the things that I loved about Brother Sammy. Brother Sammy never believed he was going by way of the rapture. He believed that he was going to go by way of the rapture. He never believed that he was going to go by way of death. Of course, the Lord showed him different in that. He felt the sting of death, but he believed Jesus was coming back just any minute. And he is coming back any minute. He is coming back just any minute. The work of grace that happened in Noah's life, it was of faith, of fear, of fervor. But then it was a word of guilt that he preached. And I've already covered a bit of this, but it's a word of guilt. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that Noah was the 8th person and that he was a preacher of righteousness. I believe, now I don't know if this is right, but I believe that this could be right. If you know a better explanation, help me with it after the service. But it said Noah was the eighth person. Now, we know he wasn't the eighth person to be born in the history of the world. We know he wasn't the eighth person in existence at that time. We know there was eight souls on the ark. It has to be in reference to the ark. Noah was the eighth person. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Right? Noah was preaching their guilt before them. It's what he was doing. You know why your pastor believes the King James Bible is worded that way and says that Noah was the eighth person? I believe he's the last one on board. I believe he stood up there on them saw horses and preached till he had no more time left. I believe that God left his preacher up. I believe God left his man standing up there preaching. I believe Mrs. Noah and Ham and Shem and Japheth and their wives got on board the ark. I believe God left that old preacher standing out there and preaching guilt before this world. It was a word of guilt. God put on Noah's tongue. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah preached this world guilty. And he preached righteousness to this world. And he preached hope to this world. And God left a preacher. He left a preacher there to preach to him until the very last possible moment in time. And God pulled his preacher off of those saw horses and walked him up the ramp and put him in the ark, and God shut the door, and the last message had been heard, and there's no more hope left. And little babies and adults and everybody else on planet Earth beside those eight souls died. Matter of fact, a Sunday school teacher one time, of all the people in the world, my children had a Sunday school teacher one time. We get moved by emotions in our culture. We Americans are some of the sappiest souls that ever lived. We get so emotional. You remember when 9/11 took place? It's amazing to think that there's people in here tonight that does not remember when 9/11 took place, some of you younger people. But I remember seeing it happen. I remember seeing those people jump out of those windows to their death. It was a tragedy. It was an absolute tragedy that took place on American soil. But I remember hearing news anchors and I remember commentators talking about how that all of these people that had perished, how that they were with God now, how that they were in heaven. And since they had died in such a tragedy, no doubt that a loving God took them to glory. Well, that's simply not the truth. Listen, God's not unfair to somebody because he lets them die in a fire or because he lets them die in a flood or because they have to jump out of a window of a skyscraper to keep from burning to death. God's not being unfair to them. He said it's appointed unto man once to die, and he didn't give any details as to how we're going to die. He just said it's appointed unto man once to die. But we have this idea, if you die tragically somehow, that just guarantees you entrance into heaven. Listen, if you buy into that, that don't make you that much difference from the Muslims. The Muslims believe if you die a martyr's death, it's your guaranteed heaven, it's your guaranteed paradise. We believe somehow if you die tragically, that you're guaranteed paradise. That's not the case. This Sunday school teacher that I referenced, moved by emotion, moved by sentimentalism, she told my children that she just didn't believe that those children had to die in that flood, that somehow they were spared and they all went to heaven. Well, the thing is, it's just not so. They died. They died. Everyone, and now some of them no doubt were of an age that they were not responsible yet, and that's all God's business right there. But I guarantee you, if they was a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old child there that heard the preaching of the word of God and rejected the wooing of God, they died and went to hell in that flood. That's the reality of it. That's why God give them a preacher. That's why he give them a message. That's why he give them a word. That's why he let Noah be the eighth instead of the first or the fourth or the seventh soul onto that ark. He let him be the very last. God extended a hand and extended a hand and extended a hand. Do you remember what I said? When God draws a line in the sand and you put a toe over that line, buddy, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with God. There was a word of guilt preached to them. That's what we need in our day. We don't need anybody to tell us how good we are. That makes for too short of a sermon if they're going to tell me how good I am. I need him to tell me how wicked I am. That's what we need, a word of guilt. But then there was a world of glory in the latter part of the verse. What does it say? It says that he prepared that ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Look at this now.
and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How about that? There was a world of glory to come. A world of glory. Abraham left from this walk of life. When he left from this walk of life, there was a world of glory. All for his enjoyment. He's in paradise. He's in the presence of God Almighty as we speak to you tonight. There's a world of glory for the child of God that lies hereafter. But you mark this down. You write it down in your little book. You underline it. If you're going to get in, you're not going to be able to fit in this world. You can't fit in if you're going to get in. Noah couldn't live like everybody around him. Noah couldn't go down to the juke joints and beer joints. Noah couldn't go to the casinos. Noah couldn't get mad and cuss like a sailor when he lost his cool. Noah couldn't live that way. Noah had to live a holy life. Noah had to live a separated life. Noah couldn't live like the world around him. And listen to me now. Do you not think that everybody made fun of him? Do you not think that everybody made fun of his family? Do you not think that when they had to go into town and get supplies that they could hear the people whispering? You don't think they could hear the sniggers and the jeers? Of course they heard all of that. They heard it. You know what they done? They went on and lived for God anyway. If you think it's any different in this day, you're sadly mistaken. The Word of God says, yea, and any will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Nobody's going to understand you. Nobody's going to understand the stands that you take. Nobody's going to understand your positions that you take. But it does not matter. You can't be concerned with fitting in if you're ever going to get in. I'm not concerned with fitting in at all. None whatsoever. I'm interested in getting in. I'm already in the ark, the salvation of ark. I tell you what we're interested in. We're interested in when we make that crossing. Hearing that those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You mark it down, beloved. This world will tell you that you can have your cake and eat it too. This world will tell you, I heard a woman just yesterday or day before on a Christian video that I was watching. It was a female, and she said, I love Jesus and I love women. What's wrong with that? I can tell you what's wrong with that. There's a whole lot's wrong with that. I'll tell you what's wrong with it. You will know. You probably already know what's wrong with it, but I'm going to tell you what's wrong with it. God can save a homosexual, but he won't leave them that way. He won't leave them that way. He'll change them. He'll make them a brand new creature in Christ Jesus is what he'll do. He'll change that person. But this Christianity that we see today that's mass marketed to our culture says that you can have Jesus and your sin. But you hear this Baptist preacher tonight. You hear me tonight. You cannot have Jesus and your sin. You will choose one or the other. And whichever one you choose, be ready to embrace it for eternity. Because that's how long you're going to have it. That's exactly how long you're going to have it. You can't fit in and get in. Let's all stand if you would. Brother Ernest and Sister Willistine will come with us a hymn for invitation. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth that it is, Lord. Thank you for the warning, for the admonition from the Scripture, from the Word of God. God, help us to see as our culture and all round about us, even religious leaders in our day, Lord, they're trying to tell us you can fit in this world and still get in, but we can't find it anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. Your people were always called out of this world. Your people were always a peculiar people. Your people were always rejected and persecuted by this world. And Lord, we're not going to be the first generation that has failed to experience that. Our path will be the same path that our forefathers trod, rejected of this world, laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of, disrespected, and all the rest. God, we intend to get in. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to bear the marks of Christ unashamedly. God, help us to square our shoulders, Lord, to stick our chin out and to be thankful, to be identified with the one who loved us and gave himself for us. It's in his precious holy name that we pray. Amen.